care for more than 400,000 Iowans who receive Medicaid services. And we're able to do so without reducing provider reimbursement rates or reducing services to Medicaid recipients. The $86 million in savings is a good start, and we will continue this program integrity efforts over the next fiscal years as well. And we're hoping that we can do even more in the future. With that, I want to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to give you more details.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor. The Governor and I took office with the goal of changing culture of state government to one that recognizes Iowa taxpayers while prioritizing services for those who absolutely need it the most. Savings under the program come through the cost avoidance and recoveries. Cost avoidance is the money that didn't have to be spent because errors and fraudulent activities are caught in advance. Recoveries are from funds inappropriately billed to Medicaid that providers then have to repay back. Iowa's Medicaid program emphasizes avoidance. After all, it is absolutely less costly to stop inappropriate claims than to chase them down and recover the funds. For providers who make mistakes or are simply misinformed, there's an education component to help them get back on track. This is another case where we end that got you attitude that previously existed within the state government. And instead, we work with the participating providers to fix any problems and provide them excellent service that Iowans expect and that they deserve. However, we're sending a strong message to those seeking to defraud Iowa government. Under this initiative, people who deliberately seek to defraud the system are being put on notice. We're using sophisticated techniques to stop their efforts, and our tactics are working. Some savings came from cracking down on in-home respite care providers who were billing for services not provided, claiming they were at two homes at the same time or they were inflating the time that they were spending in each one of the homes. More savings came from ending long rental times for medical equipment when it would have been cheaper to go ahead and just purchase the equipment instead of renting it. We often hear about the significant costs that are associated with Medicaid, but not enough about the plans on how we can improve and fix the system. Today demonstrates that there is a way and that we have the results to prove it. The Iowa Medicaid program has proven to be a model in the area of program integrity. It's ensuring that providers are appropriately paid while reaching our goal that every taxpayer dollar is well spent. Thank you.
Okay, we'd be glad to respond to your questions.
How much did this program cost? How much is the company that's doing this? How much?
It's $14
million. How much?
14, is that Jennifer?
14.
Jennifer Vermeer is here. She's in charge of the.
You want to answer?
Yeah.
The cost of the contract was $14 million over 3 years.
So the savings is $86 million. The cost was $14
million. And the company that's getting the $14
million? The company is called Optum.
$86 million is over the 3 years. The $14 million would, right. So it cost $14 million. It saved $86
million. Has the state prosecuted anybody from Medicaid for this program?
This is primarily avoidance. We also do have a program that is run by the Department of Inspections and Appeals, and we are indeed, in fact, there was some press over the weekend about an operation up in DeWitt, Iowa, where there is going to be prosecution. I think there's been other prosecution. I don't know if Jennifer would like to add to that.
So the way this program works is our program seeks to detect fraudulent activity or overpayments, and then we refer any suspected fraud to the Department of Inspections and Appeals Medicaid Fraud Control Unit, and the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit then investigates on kind of that criminal basis and would follow up with investigation and referral to county attorneys for prosecution. But there are Medicaid fraud cases going on all the time.
Any idea how many referrals you might have had from this program?
I don't have that number off the top of my head. I can tell you that the majority of the Medicaid providers are honest and doing a good job. This is a relatively small number of providers, but this small number of providers can cost millions of dollars, so it's important to follow up. But it's usually a relatively small part of the overall Medicaid providers.
And I just want to make it clear, there are two programs here. There is this program, which we talked about with the contract, and then there is also the Medicaid fraud unit that is working out of the Department of Inspections and Appeals, which gets cases referred to it as well. So what they do is in addition to what we've identified here. Well, I think we're very interested in working to improve patient care and to educate people about that. I don't think necessarily that means that we have to hire a lot of additional state inspectors. I think there can be other ways to do this. We're certainly interested in making sure that, you know, we have a goal to be the healthiest state in the nation. And as part of that, we want to educate people and we want people to take ownership of their own health. Those people that can't take care of themselves, we want to certainly make sure that their relatives and their providers are being responsible and doing the right thing and avoiding elder abuse and things like this.
Should the state be inspecting hospital providers more than once every 20 years?
Well, I guess I don't know where you get that information, because I'm not aware of. I do know that my father went through hospice in Mason City. He was treated very well. I've had experience with other friends that have gone through hospice, and I guess I'm not aware that there's a significant problem with hospice, and I don't want to try to drive up their costs, because I know that hospice is a kind of end of life type of care that's provided in a very thoughtful way to patients and to their families. Are there other questions? Yes, sir.
Oh, can I ask you a question on another topic?
Sure.
Governor, over the weekend, Senator Matt McCoy said the trained Iowa City House Speaker Paulson says he's not going to disagree, and Matt says it's time to turn the $53 million grant to given to the Culver administration back to the Federal Railroad Administration, which says that the state has to make a decision now after 3 years.
Well, we've had the Department of Transportation reviewing and analyzing this and determining whether or not this is feasible and what the cost would be to the state and local government. I would wait until we have a full report and recommendations from the Department of Transportation before deciding, but I know there has been considerable skepticism about whether or not this would be feasible, especially going all the way across the state of Iowa in light of the population density along this route. We do have an Amtrak route that goes through southern Iowa. This would be adding another route, and the cost of that and upgrading the facilities and the ridership are all issues that I asked the Department of Transportation to carefully study and review, and I would wait until we hear back from them before we make a decision as to what to do. A good share of this federal money has not been spent. I think a portion of it was in the early years spent, but that is, and you may be aware of the fact that many other states have turned back money in this program. The state of California has a massive overrun in costs, and so this is a program that needs to be carefully and thoughtfully studied so that we don't put the Iowa taxpayers on the hook. That's always been my concern. Well, I want to wait until the Department of Transportation completes its study before making any determination as to what I would recommend.
When is that report supposed to come out?
I'm not sure the date on that, but hopefully we'll have something, you know, in the I know they've been working on it for several months. Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty in this country due to a number of factors. The federal, obviously, the federal government's inability to balance the budget, the additional costs associated with Obamacare, the problems with the startup of that, the shutdown of the government, all of that kind of stuff has created uncertainty. Plus, you've got the situation where, frankly, the price of cotton isn't very good. And they make cotton pickers here in Des Moines or in Ankeny. That's one of the things. I think the sprayers have been doing pretty well for John Deere. And John Deere's a great company, and generally they've been adding jobs. But I think each of these companies obviously has their own situation. We're working hard every day to try to attract more business and jobs and to grow the Iowa economy. We just had web filings announced 700 new jobs are going to be created over the next several years. They've built a new building that I have had a chance to visit up there in the research park at Iowa State. There's a lot of other good things going on, but there's also always going to be jobs that are being lost. That's why we have such an ambitious goal to create jobs, and why we've worked hard to bring these new fertilizer plants and these bioscience and food processing plants to the state of Iowa.
No, she
said we're going to have to bring more people to the state of Iowa, and I just say stay tuned. We're going to work on that, and we've got an ambitious plan that we're going to be unveiling in the months ahead about how we're going to bring more people to the state of Iowa, how we're going to not only grow jobs in Iowa, but how we're going to bring people here with skills to fill those jobs.
So are you saying that you're still going to get 200,000 by the end of this first term?
Well, first of all, let me just say, the previous administration, we saw a massive loss of jobs. In fact, the 12 years intervening before I came back, we've already created more jobs than they did in the whole 12-year period. I'm not satisfied. I want us to do even better. And if the federal government would get its act together and quit scaring people and businesses about investing and creating jobs, I think would do better. But compare us to Illinois, compare us to our neighbors, and you see we're going in the right direction, they're going in the wrong direction. We've got our state's financial house in order, and they don't. So I'd be very glad to compare what we have accomplished with the previous administration and with their friends from the neighboring state of Illinois. Well, I'm one that follows the Reagan 11th commandment. I don't believe in criticizing other folks. I believe that we need leadership. And I'm the chief executive at the state level, and I'll take responsibility for what happens in this state. I'd like a president that would take responsibility for what's happening in the nation and provide leadership at the national level. We've had a lack of leadership there. The president has not put together a plan. He won't even meet with the Speaker of the House. This is not what we need for the country. We need to come together. And I know at the end of the day, nobody's going to get their way 100%. They need to be willing to compromise, just as we were to get significant things accomplished here at the state level. I would contrast what we as governors are doing with the lack of leadership in Washington, D.C. And I think the most important job is the chief executive. And that's the reason why I stayed here in Iowa and why I love this job as being chief executive of the state. But I'm very disappointed and very critical of both parties for the lack of leadership in Washington, D.C. The president and the Congress, both parties, both houses, I think deserve the kind of low approval ratings they get from the American people because of the lack of leadership they're providing for this country. We cannot continue to spend massive amounts of money that we don't have. We've got to address these huge deficits that are caused by the growing entitlement programs. And so far, this administration has been unwilling, even though they had a task force, a bipartisan task force that made recommendations to address it. They have not been willing to put forward a plan to do something about it. Well, I certainly am. He's a bright young guy. He's just one of 100 members of the Senate. I think we should hear from all viewpoints. But as you've heard from me, I believe the leadership in this country is coming from the governors and from the states, not from Washington, D.C. And I don't think one freshman senator can turn this all around. I think it's really going to take executive leadership. But I'm really proud of what we've done, and I'm proud of what other Republican governors are doing across the country. And I would contrast what we've done with what's happened in Washington, D.C. or in our neighboring state of Illinois. I'm just going to say welcome to Iowa. Well, come here often, spend a lot of money. We appreciate your coming to our state as we do others, and I've always tried to be a good host and welcome everybody. Well, money is only one indicator. I think the Democrats have made a huge mistake in choosing to have a congressman to run for the Senate. The last thing was we need is another congressman in the United States Senate. And I believe that when all is said and done, after the Republicans choose a nominee, we're going to have a strong candidate and we'll have an excellent chance to win the Senate race. Because I think Iowans are looking for somebody that has Iowa problem-solving skills, not somebody that spent all their time in Washington, D.C. and spends their time worrying about congressional perks as opposed to solving the budget problems for America. Well, first of all, the legislature has already appointed their interim committee. They have an interim committee that's looking at the EMS issue. I didn't think we needed to spend the $10,000 of taxpayers' money to do this. The legislature has authority to do so, so they're already studying the issue. Secondly, it's the Department of Public Health that has a responsibility to oversee this, and I know they have a tight budget, and I guess I'm not a micromanager. I respect their decision to allocate their priorities in the way they think is appropriate.
There's also they also have the ability within their own association and at the national level also to utilize the resources that are available. So there's nothing to prevent them from gathering. We did that many times as an association ourselves, working through our national association as a county treasurer, to utilize both associations to really look at it, initiatives and what you can do to move the initiative forward.
Great, thanks everybody.
Okay, thank you very much.